This morning, Daniel chapter number 3, the book of Daniel chapter number 3. It's certainly good to be with you again here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And we certainly think about you all quite often. And it's certainly good to be with you this morning. Daniel chapter number 3, very familiar passage of scripture that we're going to read. And I trust this will be a blessing to you this morning. Daniel chapter number 3. If I can begin reading at verse number 8, we'll start reading at verse number 8 of that chapter. Daniel chapter number 3, verse number 8. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto him, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. This morning, if I can, I want to draw my attention to one word in verse 17, and that's the word able. They say, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able. The word able means to have enough power or skill to do something. I understand this morning that people have abilities. There are some people that have more abilities than others, but we all have abilities. I'm thankful this morning that I was able to get up. I'm glad this morning that I was able to get dressed. I'm glad that I was able to come to church this morning. I'm glad this morning that I'm able to see, I'm able to hear, I'm able to talk. I'm able to read my Bible. I'm glad I'm able to pray. I'm glad I'm able to be a witness. Whatever your abilities are this morning, God's also blessed me with the ability musically to play about 9 different instruments. Some have the ability to sing, some have the ability to draw, but whatever your abilities are, you need to remember that God gave you those abilities. And you need to use those abilities and talents that God's given you and use those to glorify and honor Him. I believe that even on our best days with our abilities, we as man are limited. There are some things, even if you're wealthy, that you may not be able to buy. There are some diseases that a doctor is not able to cure. There are some surgeries that a surgeon is not able to perform. There are some loans that a bank is not able to give. Sadly, there are some people that a preacher is not able to help. But I believe when it comes to spiritual matters, I believe that man is limited in some areas. I believe this morning that man is not able to be saved without repentance. I know there is a big debate amongst independent Baptists over this matter of repentance, but Jesus said, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. I will let God be true and every man a liar. Man this morning is not able to go to heaven without salvation. Man is not able to understand the Bible without the Spirit of God living on the inside. Man is not able to live holy without separation. Man is not able to serve God without submission. We think of the gods of this world. I would submit to you this morning that the gods of this world, they have no ability whatsoever. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 115, verses 4 through 7, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses they have, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. So we understand when it comes to the gods of this world that they have no ability. But when we come to the God of the Bible, I'm glad it's a different ball game. I'm glad this morning that I'm able to tell you with confidence that the God of this Bible church, He's able to speak to us this morning. I'm glad this morning that the God of the Bible, He's able to see us this morning. I'm glad the God of this Bible, I'm glad that He's able to hear this morning. He's able to smell. The God of this Bible, He's able to handle. He's able to walk amongst us. I'm glad that we have a God of ability. He's the God that's able this morning. Amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, just as a way of introduction, there are some things that's worth noticing. If you look in verses 8 through 12, I'll not take time to read these again, but you'll see an accusation that was heard. You see, old Nebuchadnezzar signed a law. He had built this big image. The law stated this, that whatever sound the music, at whatever time the music began to play, that everybody's to fall down and they're to bow down and worship this image that he had made. There were three Hebrew boys that loved God and said, we're not going to bend down, we're not going to bow down when the music begins to play. When everybody else began to fall down, they continued to take a stand. There were some Chaldeans nearby that observed what was going on. They went to the king, they said, now King Nebuchadnezzar, did you not sign a decree that at what time the music begins to play that everybody's to fall down and bow and worship this image? He said, I did sign that. They said, well, there are three Hebrew boys that's over the affairs of the province of Babylon. They're not obeying your commandment. There's an accusation that was heard. Then in verse number 13, not only is there an accusation that was heard, but there is an anger that was harsh. Well, the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, this did not make King Nebuchadnezzar happy. And then verses 14 and 15, you'll see an arrogance that was haughty. You'll look at that verses, those two verses, you'll see where Nebuchadnezzar uses the phrase, my gods, I have set up, I have made my hands. You see, Nebuchadnezzar thought it was all about him. Can I tell you this morning, it's not about me. It's not about you, but it's all about the Lord. Amen. Amen. There was an arrogance that was haughty. And then in verses 16 through 18, there's an answer that was hasty. Boy, these boys were brought before the king, and they didn't really have to think about what they were going to tell the king. They already had their minds made up they were going to do right. But it was an answer conflict. If you look at verse number 16, they say, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I begin to think about that phrase, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We do a lot of traveling on the highways. I mean, we do a bunch. In fact, about a year and a half ago, we had the privilege to drive 970 miles from Tennessee to a church in Texas, one way, just for one Sunday service. Out of all the songs they could have sang, Brother Ennis, they sang "I Feel Like Traveling On." I said, "Man, don't sing that song. That's becoming one of my least favorite songs, I Feel Like Traveling On." Imagine we in the truck, amen. But there are two types of drivers on the road. There are those that are careful, and there are those that are careless. You're either one or the other, but you're not both at the same time. Those boys tell the king, "We are not careful." So I guess we could say that they were just a little bit careless in that matter. I began to think about that word careless. It's made up of two little words, careless. I believe what they told King Nebuchadnezzar is this: "King, we could really care less what kind of law you signed." It was an answer conflict. Not only that, but it was an answer confidence. Look in verse 17. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace." But look at this next statement: "And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King." You see, these boys, when they spoke these words, they didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know if God was going to let them die in the fire or if God was going to bring them through the fire. But I believe, brother, it is what they're telling the king. It doesn't matter how it turns out. We're winners either way. It was an answer of confidence. And then in verse number 18, it was an answer of conviction. They said, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." The Lord helped me this morning. I want to preach a simple thought on the God that is able. The God that is able. Let me say, number one, this morning, he is a God that is able to deliver me when I ask him, because he's a God of ability. He's a God, brother Ennis, he's able to deliver me this morning when I ask him, because he's a God of ability. In Genesis 18, verse 14, the Lord said this: is anything too hard for the Lord? Fellowship Baptist Church, I'd ask you this morning, is there anything too hard for the Lord? I'd say there's nothing too hard for him. The Bible said in Jeremiah 32, verse 17, "Ah, Lord God, because behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there's nothing too hard for thee." The God of this Bible, friend, he stepped out on nothing. He spoke something and made everything and never broke a sweat in the process. Jeremiah 32, verse 27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Luke chapter 18, verse number 27, "And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." He's a God that's able to deliver me. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, "And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians." In Judges chapter 10, verse 11 and 12, "And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines, the Zidonians also and the Amalekites, the Manites did oppress you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand." In 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." David knew exactly what God had done in the past, and he was confident that God was able to deliver again. I'm saying this morning, church, he's a God this morning that's able to deliver me when I ask him. Why? Because he's a God of ability. We understand this morning that God has created the natural laws of this universe. And there are some times when the natural laws I guess they can look at God and say, God, you're now limited. But can I tell you, the God that created those natural laws, He's able to suspend them whenever He wants to and do what He wants to do. There are times man shakes his head no. Man says it's impossible. That's when God can shake His head yes and say it is possible. You see, God is bigger than the creation. God is bigger than the conditions that you'll ever face in life. God is bigger than any circumstance that you'll ever encounter. I believe this morning if God can speak this universe into existence, He's able to deliver me when I ask Him. If God can split the sea open and allow millions to cross over from Pharaoh's army on dry ground, He's able to deliver me this morning. If God can separate this earth and swallow up the enemies of Moses, He's able to deliver me this morning. If God can supply water from a rock, He's able to deliver me this morning. If God can satisfy hunger by raining down manna from heaven, He's able to deliver me this morning. If God can shake this earth and free prisoners, He's able to deliver me this morning. If God can still the storms for the disciples, He's able to deliver me. I'm saying He's a God that's able to deliver me when I ask Him, because He's a God of ability. Number two this morning, He's also a God that is able to do for me before I ask Him, because He's a God of benevolence. He's a God that's able to do for me before I ask Him, because He is a God of benevolence. The Bible speaks much about God being good. The Bible tells us in Psalm 73, verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Psalms 33, verse 5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. In Psalm 68, verse number 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Brother Ennis, I began to study that verse out. It was a real blessing to me. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. That word loadeth means to impose a burden. I went to Webster's dictionary, looked at the word impose. It means to force on someone else. You ever see these countries, and I guess they still do it in some countries of the world, they do a lot of traveling by animals. But you notice that animals carrying the load, they've got that animal weighed down. They've got that load on that animal. I don't think, Brother Ennis, now, I don't think the animal asked for the load. I don't think they went to that animal and said, listen, I've got this load. Do you mind carrying this for us today? It's a little bit heavy for us. I think what happened is this. They took that load and imposed it on that animal. The Bible said that's exactly what God does to us every day with benefits. I began to study the word benefits. Anything that contributes to an improvement or to an advantage. Jobs provide benefits. If you were to go to a place of employment and you ask for a job, they say, you know what, we'll hire you. You give us your time, we'll give you our money. About 3 months after being at that place of employment, they bring you into the office. They say, you've done a good job for us the last 90 days, and now we're going to provide you with some benefits. We're going to provide you with some things that you didn't ask for. Boy, I begin to think, you know, if a wicked old business owner can do his people that much good, If he can help his people, how much more can the God of heaven give us and do for us that love him this morning? Sometimes as parents, sometimes this don't happen too many times. Now they're always asking for things. They go in Walmart, want everything they see, preacher. Dad, I want this game. I want this. I've tried to tell them, and they young people have a hard time believing that we live for years without half of this stuff. But brother, there are some times that my children, they don't ask for anything, but sometimes I'm just in the mood to give them something. Now, if we can do that as earthly parents, don't you think God can do that as a heavenly Father? Amen. He's able. Listen, he loadeth us daily with benefits. Maybe, have you ever received that unexpected blessing from the Lord? Amen. Man, has there ever been a time that you went to the mailbox and there was an unexpected check that had come in your way that you had no idea that you were going to get? Ladies, have you ever been at the store and, boy, you just come up on a good deal on something you couldn't resist? I'm telling you what, you might say, preacher, it was just coincidence. Oh, let me tell you something. Oh, no, there's no coincidence about it. I believe the good God of heaven looks down. He says, that's my child. They've not asked me for this, but right now I'm just in the mood to do something good for them. And he drops a benefit right down on us. We didn't even ask for a preacher. I remember about 3 years ago, we went to a couple's house. They invited us over to eat dinner with them, and we hadn't seen them in years. And I began to notice as I was going, the gas tank was starting to get rather low. And I told Sherry, I said, you know, I said, we'll just fill up when we get done eating. So as we were at the table that night, the man asked me, said, how does your gas tank look? I said, empty. He said, that's good. I said, no, it ain't good. I said, we've got a tank out there in the yard. We've got a V10 excursion. He said, well, I'm going to fill you up after supper. I said, man, I said, you really don't want to do that. I said, it takes 40 minutes to fill the thing up. Brother Ennis, he said, I'm going to do it. The Lord's impressed me to do it for you. There comes a time in evangelism, and you've not taught me this at Clarksville yet, but there does come a time when you zip up. I did not want to rob that man of a blessing. I'm talking about a big 42-gallon blessing, to be exact. I had the money to get the gasoline for the truck, but at that particular time, God loaded me with a benefit. Amen. He's able to do for you before you even ask him, because he's a God of benevolence. Number three, not only is he a God that's able to deliver me when I ask him, not only is he a God that's able to do for me before I ask him, but number three, he's a God that's able to deny what I ask him. Amen. Because he's a God of love. He's a God that's able to deny what I ask him. You see, when I was a sinner, when I was lost, God loved me. Now that I'm his child, he still loves me. He loves me too much to hurt me. And because of this love for me, there are some times he denies what I ask him. I think over in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16, the Bible said, David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. We know that David there had committed some terrible sins. has been confronted by Nathan the prophet. This little baby gets sick. David begins to weep and pray over that little baby. Was God able to heal that little baby? Sure he was. But you see, this was a form of chastisement in the life of David. I've often thought, if God had healed that little child, David might would have thought, I got by. And if David had entertained a thought, I got by, David might would have done the same thing again. That's why people sin the second time, is because they really thought they got by with it the first time. You see, God loved David. God wanted David to live right. God wanted David to live holy. And because of that, because of God's love for David, God said no to his prayer. Then I think about over in the book of 1 Kings 19, verse 4. It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. Here Elijah the prophet is discouraged, and he prays and he asks God to kill him. Well, that was crazy. Did God have the ability to do that? Sure he did. But you got to remember, God wasn't finished with Elijah yet. Elijah, I'm not done with you yet. There's more work for you to do. And because of this, I love you too much to answer that prayer. I'm saying no. I wonder how many times you and I, we've prayed and we've asked God to do things for us. And if God had answered our prayers, it would have cut our very life short. Then I think about over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul had that thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times and asked God to remove it. But God said no. He said, but my grace will be sufficient. Paul even admits that it will be very possible for him to be exalted above measure. You see, Paul could have become so prideful. And if Paul had got to that point, God would not have been able to use him. Wonder how many times, brother Dennis, we've asked God for things. And if God had given us what we asked for, it had put us on the shelf and not be able to use us. I'm saying he has a right to deny what we ask. I know that sometimes as a parent, my children ask me for things. And there are times I look at the big picture. I'm not critical of what other parents do, but I just observe. Some of the things my children ask me for, I've watched parents give those very things to their children, and I've watched it, Brother Ennis, become the downfall in the lives of those children. And because I love my children, I tell them no. There are times they get upset with me. They go to their room and they don't want to speak to me. But there'll come a day, then, if God lets them grow up to become parents, God may let them see what I've seen. He's a God that's able to deny what we ask him. Then number four, he's a God that's able to double what I ask him. Because he is a God of exaggeration. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 20. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. If I could give you some paper this morning and some pens or pencils and tell you to write down every good thing you've ever thought about, write down every promise that God's ever given you in His Word, write down every blessing you've ever thought about or you've ever read about, and give that list to God, I'm going to tell you something, church. That's just the beginning of what He's able to do. He's able to take that list and go further than you can ask or think. He's able to double what we ask Him. Well, I think about over in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, there was a man by the name of Solomon. God says, Solomon, tell me what you want, I'll give it to you. I heard a preacher, a friend of mine, put it like this. He said, God gave Solomon a blank check and said, here, write it out. I don't know what all matter went through Solomon's mind, but Solomon said, Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. Let me tell you what God gave Solomon. He said, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I'll give thee riches and wealth and honor. I'm telling you what, He's a God that's able to double what we ask Him. Then I come to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. There is a lady by the name of Hannah. We understand that Hannah was barren, grieved her. She prayed, she asked God, God, if you'll give me a little boy, I will give him back to you. Sometime later, Hannah woke up one morning. She said, I feel a little bit sick on my stomach this morning. A few months down the road, preacher, she would begin to show she's going to be a mama. A few months later, God gave her that little boy. She named him Samuel. She gave Samuel back to the Lord just like she promised. But that's not the end of the story. After Samuel's born, you go to chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, verse 21. The Bible said, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. Hannah prayed for 1 and got 6. That's the very reason I've never prayed for children. Amen. Little David was born 7.5 years ago. That completes the West family. Amen. We are done. We are done. There's no more. These people are real spiritual. I don't like real spiritual people. They come up to you, they look at you, and they say, well, Brother West, you know your quiver's not full. I'm like, I don't know about that, but my truck is. My truck is filled up, preacher. There's no more room in the inn. Amen. But I began to think a few years back, my wife had major surgery about 3.5 years ago. We didn't have insurance. We talked to the hospital. We told them, we're willing to pay the bill, but it's going to be slow go. And they said, Mr. West said, you'll be obligated to bring $100 the morning of the surgery. I said, ma'am, I said, if you don't mind, I said, my wife and I, we've talked about this thing. We'll bring you $500. She said, stay right here a minute. She gets up and she leaves us. And I asked my wife, I said, Sherry, did I say the wrong thing? She said, I don't know. So another lady comes and she's head over the finances of the hospital. She says, I understand that you don't have insurance. I said, I don't. She says, I understand that you're going to bring in $500. I said, well, that's what we were going to do, but if it's going to mess all up, we won't do that. She said, no, bring the $500. She said, we don't do this for everybody, but I'm going to give you this. It's a charity application. She said, you hang on to it. bring the $500. We're going to see to it that you don't have to pay this hospital one dime more. Amen. I looked at Sherry, I said, I think I said the right thing. She said, but now anesthesiology is tied in with the hospital. Now, whatever we do, they'll match it automatically. She said, but you need to go talk to your surgeon. He'll be different. So we go talk to the surgeon about it. And Brother Innocent, he says, I don't know. Said, I don't do the bills. Maybe $500. I don't know. It's just a rough guess. He said, but you're also going to have pathology that you're going to have to deal with. And that's going to run you about $400 or $500. So we left the hospital looking at maybe about a $1,500 bill. Out going across that hospital parking lot, I'll never forget. I said, Lord, this is bigger than I am. It ain't quite as big as you are. If you don't mind, can I give this to you? Get in the car from the hospital on the way home. The Lord impressed me to do something. I'd made an instrumental CD about 11 years before. And really wanted to get rid of them. The Lord just kind of nudged me. Let your CDs go for $5 and let people know that whatever comes in on the CD, you're going to put toward a surgery and watch me work. Brother Innes, I began to do that. One by one, I began to have people come up to me, where's the instrumental? Here's a 20, keep the change. Had this one woman, she kind of made me mad. She said, here's a 20, I don't even want your CD, just keep it. A couple of weeks into it, we were in a church in Virginia on a Sunday morning. I announced the CD. Pastor raised his hand. He said, Brother Marvin, you trust in God for the $1,500? I said, yes. He said, this church will give you the $1,500. But they didn't do that. They give us $1,700. Brother Innes, within a period of about 6-7 weeks, I watched God bring us about $4,500 in. Amen. The morning of the surgery, we take the $500. About 3 or 4 weeks, 5 weeks later, the bills begin to flood in. I'm in somewhat now of a dilemma. I'm looking at $4,000 that God has given to us that I didn't ask anybody for a dime. But I'm also looking at a charity application that I didn't ask for either. I told my wife, I said, let's fill out the charity application. We filled it out, took it to the hospital. They called us back 2 days later. They said, your balance is zero. Anesthesiology, we never heard from. Pathology got hold of me. Mr. West, do you not have insurance? I said, no, ma'am, but I'm trying to tell them I've got the money. What did the hospital do? I said, they wrote it off, but send us the paper, we'll do it. It's okay. That's not one of those times preaching. Zip. I tried to tell them. The surgeon bill come in, it was $950. We wrote a check and paid it. My wife had major surgery for $1,450. But that ain't all. About a month later, I'm preaching a meeting up in West Virginia. And I guess we hit one of those hills just right, and we got a little bit of a cell phone signal. My mother-in-law called me. She said, Marvin, she said, you've got a letter from the hospital. I'm like, I shouldn't have anything from the hospital. I said, oh, no, something's no went wrong. I said, open up, let me know what it says. She comes back to the phone, preacher. She said, how much did y'all give the hospital? I said, we paid them $500. She said, you ain't going to believe it. She said, they've sent your $500 back to you. I'm like, I've never heard of a hospital sending money back. Never. I said, don't do anything with that check. Just hold it. Don't do anything with it. I called the hospital. I said, ma'am, I think there's been a mistake. She said, what's the account number? And I give her the account number. I told her what had happened. She comes back to the phone. She said, Mr. West, there's been no mistake. Your balance was wrote off. Your bill was wrote off 100%. I said, hallelujah. I'm telling you what, and my mind went racing back to Calvary. I'll tell you what, about 2,000 years ago, there was a debt that I owed. It was a sin debt. But I'm glad that when the Lord took care of my sin debt, I'm glad He didn't take care of part of it. I'm glad that my debt was paid in full. Hallelujah. He's a God of exaggeration. Little did I know, preachers, and each year, little boy, when I knelt down and I asked the Lord to save me, not only did I understand that it took care of all the past sins, but hallelujah, it took care of every future sin that I'll ever commit. I'll never have to pay for one sin. Why? Because He's a God that's able to double what we ask Him, because He's a God of exaggeration. So what God did for me and my wife was this. God gave us $4,500 to take care of a bill that would only be $950. You say it's just because you're a preacher. Oh, no. God don't have pets. He's got children. And I'm one of His little youngins. Amen. He's a God that's mourning. He's a God that is able. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pastor, I'm done.